I am. I know what the Lord wanted me to talk about, had me talk, going to have me talk about in just a few minutes, but I kind of want to precede it with this. And I believe the Lord's going to give me the words to say. I was a little vulnerable this week, kind of on Facebook. I had written a post, and I normally don't, when I'm kind of in the middle of something, I don't usually talk about it. But the Lord really prompted me to share something, because the thing about it is if you're not willing to be vulnerable in the midst of something, when you know you're going to come out on the other side, that people are watching you and they're paying attention. So what kind of wonderful testimony you can be when you show people, even in the midst of something, what it looks like, what you can show them, what it looks like on the other side. And so that's what, where my heart went when I did, you know, and you can go on and read it, is that no matter what is happening, when it talks about in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 10:13, talks about the way of escape. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God always has a way of escape.
Yes.
It's your choice to choose that. Every way of escape is in His Word. And so that's kind of what prompted me to do it, is that I want you to know you're never at a place where there's not another side. That you can't go to the other side. You can't. And I do want, I have to do a funny. I got to give kudos to Miss Jennifer here, saying, who do I have to cut that, you know, you making you feel this way? I'm like, no, nobody's going to have to cut. No cutting involved. We're good. But anyway, that's just something I want you to know. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. People can benefit from the path that you're traveling, but you show them what the other side looks like. Okay? That's what I'm sorry. But the one thing I was, since I'm being vulnerable this morning, it's about being vulnerable. Probably a couple months ago, I was just kind of praying, and my mind went to how I hear or see other people worship, or how I hear and see other people pray. And I went to, geez, you know, they hear from God so coolly. I just really wish I could do that. Or, you know, I wish I could pray that way. You know, that's just amazing. Mine's just like I'm talking to my best friend kind of thing. You know, it's so eloquent when other people are praying sometimes. You know, I just like, that's just not me. And the Lord stopped me, and He said, and I want this to help you. The way that God talks to me, He communicates it the way I do. And I have said over and over, I'm short and sweet to the point. Well, guess what? It's okay that God's that way with me. So be encouraged. And you hear God the way you hear God. Don't compare yourself. That's what the Word says. Don't compare yourselves one to another. God made you, and He made you beautiful.
So. Amen. Amen. It's a good word. It's an awesome, awesome word. You know, sometimes in counseling, you know, after talking to somebody, and I mean, letting them talk and tell us their problems a little bit, I will then give them wonderful wisdom from God. Can take me 15 or 20 minutes, you know, but I mean, I'm giving them awesome wisdom from God, and I know I'm pouring. And then I'll turn to Jennifer and I'll say, so do you have anything to share? And she says, you know, this is just what I'm hearing from God. Just do this, this, and this. And the person will say, that's exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. And they're done. They're gone. And never once do they say, thank you, Pastor Mark, for your wonderful words of wisdom. I mean, she just gets it. She just, you know, mamas are that way, right? And they're just short, sweet, and to the point. And so I love the gift that is in her. Praise God. Amen. I need my Bible. Say, I've got the goods. You got the goods. Oh, man. Praise God. So let's just start out in Ephesians chapter 4. No. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. And guys, if y'all can get a clock up on the screen, that'd be awesome for me. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is. Yeah, chapter 2. I love this in verse 8. You know what? Let's just go back. Let's just start in verse 1. And as we go down here, I want you to see. Remember what we've been saying is now we have been born again of incorruptible seed. That's the word of God. We have been born again, born into a different family. There are two different families in the earth, if you want to call it that. Two different families. There's the family that comes out of first Adam, and that is a family that is led by their emotions, by their flesh. That we were all born into. We were all children of first Adam, you know, and we had no spiritual strength on the inside of us. We were natural people, enslaved to sin, enslaved to death. We were born into sin and death, and so we were born into bondage. And so we were part of that family. And how many of you know there's a lot of people that's still part of that family today? We see now in our nation, we see across the world, we see people that are being led by their emotions, led by their political views, led by the way they identify themselves. They're led by that. So many protests and so much anger and so much, you know, people against each other. And why? It's because they're being led by their soul. And so we have a very soul-centered, self-centered society and world, and emotion-driven society and world today. And so that is all fruit from the family of first Adam. It's just all there is to it. And so if you're out of that, and that's the way you identify yourself, then you're just going to be led by your emotions, which will lead you down to a dark path, which will create depression, which will create oppression, frustration. You're just going to, you know, just not live the life that God has for you. So Jesus said that you, plural, cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. We get to be born a second time into a different family. Ah, this is just such exciting news. I get to be born when I receive Jesus, when I believe. Actually, for you people that like to study Greek words and stuff like that, that I was just studying this the other day, where it says that he that believes on Jesus has eternal life. There's a scripture. He that believes on him has eternal life. That word on, if you really look at it at its root, it indicates motion. It indicates intent. It indicates you're going somewhere. It's actually a believing into him. It's a belief. It's a faith that then takes you, it takes you from the old family, and it's a believing into Christ. And I get baptized into Christ. And we get to put on Christ. And we are now firmly planted in him. And this is the key to the understanding of the new life. It's because now that he has eternal life abiding in him, dwelling in him, everything, all things are in him. Well, once I get in him, that is what causes eternal life to spring from me. See, because now everything that he is, everything that he has, now that I am in him, all of that, I'm just swimming in the ocean of his eternal life. I'm just swimming in who Jesus is. And as he is, what does the Bible say? So are we in this world. This is the good news. So I'm born again into Christ. And because of that, now I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Father, of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And so now I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So whose child are you? Are you a child of first Adam, or are you a child of last Adam? See, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about first Adam became a living soul, but last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. And so now I'm firmly part of the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into his kingdom. You cannot be a part of that kingdom unless you are born again. But once you are born of the Spirit, once you have your heart established in righteousness and who God's created you to be, now you are firmly planted in that kingdom, experiencing the benefits of it. And so you got the goods. You got everything that you need for life and godliness, but not just for yourself, but to take it out to your world around you. Amen. It's for you to take it out to your world. It's for you to make disciples of other people. We want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Verse 1, you, he is quickened. He is made alive. Who were dead in your trespasses and your sins. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. There is a course of this world, and it's not good. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, children of first Adam, among whom also we had our lifestyle in the past, our conversation. In the lust of our flesh, we were led by our flesh, led by our selfish motives, led by our self-centeredness, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We were by nature the children that were now positioned not to experience just the love of God, but also to experience judgment for our sin. We were positioned in that place. That's first Adam. And the fruit of that is emotional living. The fruit of last Adam is spirit living. We're actually going to be starting to talk about this on Wednesday night, that there is fruit of the Spirit because your spirit man has been born again. It's joined to Jesus. You have new fruit. You have new fruit in your daily living. You act different. You live different. You think different. You talk different. You walk different. You'll walk like Jesus did. 1 John tells us, if we say that we abide in him, we ought to walk as him. See, I can say all day long I'm a Christian. I can say all day long I'm a son of God, but that means something. It means something when I tell my son, listen, son, you are a matching. Act like it. Now, when he says, I am dad, then that's the wrong thought. No, but, you know, we do that to our kids. We say, look, you're my son. You need to act like it. You're the son of God. You're a daughter of God. Act like it. Act like it. Walk as he walked. We were by nature the children of wrath. Notice that that's past tense. You were by nature. You were. You were, but you ain't now. Say, so I ain't that way anymore. You were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. I love the but gods in the Bible. You may be facing a difficult situation in your finances, but God. You may be facing something going on in your body. Somebody say, but God. You may be facing things happening in your marriage, but God. You may be facing things in your with your children, but God. You may be facing depression or oppression, but God. You may be facing all kinds of problems, but God. Whew. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead. See, told you were dead. Even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together. He quickened us together with Christ. If he did it with Christ, we were counted as part of that. Whatever happened to Christ happened to you. Say that. See that. Whatever happened to Christ happened to you. When Jesus was crucified, that happened to you. Amen. The old nature was crucified with Christ, so that happened to you. You were crucified with him. When he was when he died on the cross, that happened to you. The old nature died. When he was buried in the ground, that happened to you. We were buried with him. Romans chapter 6 tells us. When he was raised up 3 days later, free from sin's effect, free from sickness, free from death, free from all of these things that would keep him in bondage, free from just being a natural man, when he was raised up, that happened to you. He was born again, and that happened to you. The moment that you believe, you step into the reality of what happened with Christ. And so God, it says, raised us up together with him. By grace, you are saved. And he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. That's who I am. That's where I am. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. This is amazing language. That in the ages to come, God did all of that so that he could spend thousands of years unveiling his goodness to you, unveiling his love to you, unveiling his grace to you. He wanted to show you over and over and over and over again just how much he loves you, just how much he's provided for you, just what it means to be part of the family of God. And it's not that he's going to wait till you get to heaven. You have already come to heaven. You've already come to Mount Zion. You already come to the city, Jerusalem, that's in the heavens. That's what we've already read over the past few weeks. You are already there. You've come to a place where of spirits, where the spirits of just men have been made perfect. You have now arrived. Woo! You have now arrived to that place. Your spirit has been made perfect, made holy, made righteous to an innumerable company of saints. You are there, part of New Jerusalem right now. Heaven resides on the inside of you right now. You are part right now. Right now. But you'll never experience heaven till you realize where you are right now. If you respond to your situations, I'm going to use Jennifer as a an example. She talked about, I'm going to use Jennifer as a situation. We have a situation here. Houston, we have a problem. She was dealing with some things. Guess what? Just because we're pastors don't mean we don't have feelings. Amen. Don't mean sometimes we don't, we got a lot of people, that we love and that love us. But sometimes people can misunderstand things or misinterpret or whatever and either take offense at it or say something, And so the details of the situation is not important, but Jennifer was having to deal with some things in her heart. And here's what we do. Guys, get an understanding of this. Here's what we do, and something that Jennifer and I have learned. Whenever we become hurt, whenever we have the opportunity to be offended, whenever somebody has done something to us, whether it's right or wrong, what we have learned through the grace of God is to first of all check ourselves. Is first of all look at what's going on in our heart. Because the truth of the matter is regardless what anybody does to us, we are called to love everybody. Amen. Jesus demonstrated that. Jesus talked about that. He said, bless those that curse you. And so that's what I would like to do. I like to bless them out. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. Speaking of which, I don't know if I'm going to try Spanish at the Spanish festival this weekend. I am going to make it because I don't want to accidentally cuss somebody out in Spanish. I'm trying to learn, but you know, I haven't learned any of those words, so thank God for that. But no, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and that will stab you in the back. Do good to them that are doing evil to you. In other words, the fruit that comes out of the child of the king is completely different than what the old fruit is. So the first thing that we do in those situations is we don't go, yeah, and start judging and start bad-mouthing and start, they shouldn't. And we don't start pointing at them. The first thing that we do is we start saying, Jesus, have your way in our heart. Make sure that we're in the right place. Make sure that, and so part of what you saw on Facebook, for you that may have seen it, is Jennifer going through that process of saying, you know what? I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter. My identity, my value, and her processing, this is what God, and just reestablishing truth in our heart. Listen, you may be the greatest faith person, the greatest grace person, the great whatever, you may have come through every movement, but I promise you there's a day that you still have to make a decision not to be focused on what other people are doing or what other people are saying, and saying, I'm going to live not out of my past and not out of what's going on around me, but out of what God has promised me and who He's created me to be. And I've got to start there. See? So always go there, because then God gives you, and it's interesting, you know, we took a couple of days off, and man, we just felt, have you ever just felt uneasy in your spirit? Have you just felt like, you know, man, something's just not right? And it was with us for, I guess, 2 days. And so finally, Jennifer, my lovely, precious, wonderful wife, who the Lord has given me, and so that's a good thing according to the Bible, said yesterday as we were driving home, okay, I don't care what you say. When we get in the car, we are both going to pray in the Spirit together. Yeah, but I just kind of don't feel like it right now. I don't care. We're going to do this thing. Okay, all right, we'll pray. Have you ever felt like not praying in the Spirit? Well, I surely did yesterday, you know. I mean, you know, it was just, I don't know, sometimes you just deal with stuff. Yeah. You know, again, nothing bad, nothing terrible is going on, guys. Yeah, nothing right. Like that. It's just, you know, you just deal with stuff. Like, why am I feeling this way? Yeah. So we started praying in the Spirit. I'm telling you, within 5 minutes, the joy of the Lord had hit us. Everything dissipated. Whatever the situation was has already been taken care of. I guess I should have stopped worrying about it for a couple of days and not getting any sleep and things like that, and just let God handle it in the first place. Why didn't I go to Him first instead of just dealing with it? Amen. Hey, sometimes you got to stir yourself up.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to do what Jude says, build yourself up on your most holy faith. You got the faith of God on the inside of you. Let me, that scripture where it says, it's in Jude, when it says build yourself up on your most holy faith, it doesn't say build up your faith. See, what we've thought in the past maybe is that if I pray in the Holy Ghost, it's going to produce more faith. No. You've got the faith of Jesus. You don't need any more faith. The life that I now live, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life that I now live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of Christ, not faith in Him, but the faith of Him. And then back in verse 16, I'm just getting so excited about this. Listen, this is who we are. This is what we get to do. It says that I am justified by the faith of Christ, so that those that believe in Christ will be justified by the faith of Him. Let's pull that up. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I want you to see it. This is in the King James Version, because other versions get this wrong. I'm just going to tell you straight up, because it didn't make sense to other translators, so they tried to translate it differently. This is why sometimes I'll stick with the King James Version. So, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing this, that a man is not justified by what he does. He's not made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith, look at it, of Jesus Christ. even we have believed where? In Christ. And I bet if I were to look up that Greek word, it would be the word in or into Christ. Believed in Christ that we might be justified, why? By the faith of Christ. And so that word of and in are two different Greek words. I've looked it up. So I'm justified by his faith. I'm justified by what he did. And so the moment that I believe in him, I release the faith of him to work in my life. Amen. I'm resting in Christ. I'm resting in him. I'm allowing him to live his life through me. And so what we do is we start praying in the Spirit. We get to build ourselves up. I didn't mean to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, but let's talk about it for just a moment because this is who you are. Here's one of the things you got to realize about you got the goods. You are powerful. Amen. The power of God is on you. How God, first of all, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And let me just answer this question for those that may wonder. Well, when I got saved, did I also receive the Holy Ghost? Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus, before he went to Jordan, was he baptized in the Holy Ghost? The answer is no, he was not. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. But the Holy Spirit on flesh to do the work of the ministry came when he went to Jordan. And so Jesus was holy, Jesus was perfect, Jesus was righteous, but yet he was not baptized in the Holy Ghost, that part of the Trinity, if you are, that part of God. He wasn't infilled with him in the same way. And so at Jordan, what happened when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form, just like a dove would. And so that's when Jesus began to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. So when Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, is talking about that moment. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, I am sending you the Holy Spirit whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Only a born again child of God whose spirit has been made righteous, whose spirit has been joined to Jesus, can now be a new vessel fitted for the Holy Spirit to come on and to live in and to work through. And so that's the reason why that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he told the disciples, he said, so stay here in Jerusalem and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, the truth of the matter is when they started preaching this, I might as well just talk about the Holy Ghost. You got the goods. The Holy Ghost is part of the goods. But you got to see that, you know, they just expected that the moment that you receive Jesus, that you receive the Holy Spirit at that same time. That's what they experienced, that all of it happened at once because they experienced it. And so what we've done is we've tried to, and so while I say that it's a separate experience, what we've done is we've tried to make it a doctrine of separation, when what we should be doing is preaching to people, just receive it all at the moment. Receive Jesus. You don't have to receive Jesus and then a week or two later receive the Holy Ghost. Receive everything, because the moment that you're born again, you are fitted, you are ready for the Holy Spirit to come in and own you, glory to God, and to receive power. You are powerful, glory to God. Amen. Praise God. You know, and so anyway, so now the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us that when I pray in the Spirit, what am I doing? It says that I am edifying myself. Let's turn over there and look at this. And so I want to kind of close this on the fact that you are powerful.
powerful, that you've got the Holy Spirit, that you've got the goods. There were other things that I wanted to share this morning, but I really feel like the Spirit of God is wanting to stay here and just as an encouragement to you, because I'm just telling you, yesterday as we began to pray in the Spirit, and I pray in the Spirit all the time, but sometimes you've just got to stir up the gift. Sometimes you got to do it when you don't feel like it. And we were called, look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says in verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, or, you know, and we're talking about praying in the Spirit here. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, what does it say? He edifies himself. He builds himself up. You know, there are some days that you don't have people that you can call to build you up. And the truth of the matter is you need to be built up by the Holy Ghost. You need to be built up by God. It says he edifies himself. And then he says in verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he is speaking mysteries. You are speaking the wisdom of God. You are speaking your answer. You are speaking what you... It is God able to communicate in and through you about a situation. That's what Jennifer and I needed to do. We didn't know what was going on, but the Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Ghost, he will pray through us when we don't know what to pray.
That's right.
He knows what the perfect will of God is for your life. He knows what the perfect will of God is. I about fell right off the steps there. He knows what the perfect will of God is for that situation. So pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude, go over to the book of Jude, the little book of Jude, right there before the last book of Revelation. And look. Verse 20, Jude, it's only one chapter. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
You spend time praying. You say, well, I don't know how to pray in tongues. I don't know how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, then let us pray with you afterwards.
Amen.
Because you can receive that in a moment. It is available to you right now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to work for it. It is available to you to experience right now, today. I mean, if this is available to me as a child of the Most High God, that in a moment of weakness, in a moment of pain, in a moment of sorrow, in a moment of hurt, in a moment of confusion, that I can immediately start praying the mysteries and the wisdom of God, and that the moment I start praying in the Holy Ghost, he says, I start building myself up. I'm edifying myself. I'm building. It's not just edifying like, oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, I just love you so much. That's not edification. It's actually, there's a build. There's a strengthening. It's like brick upon brick. It's like when you're actually building something, it is something that is stable. It is something that is firm, and that I'm building myself on my most holy faith that already resides on the inside of me, the faith of Christ. And what happens, that begins to be released through me, the wisdom of God, everything that's in Christ. He's made unto me wisdom. He's made unto me sanctification. He's made unto me righteousness. He's made unto me everything that I need. He is the love of God in demonstration. And when I don't feel loved, that's a great time for me just to go to the Father and receive His love. When I don't have wisdom, then I go to Him and I say, I don't know what to do, but Father, You know what to do. And so I just start praying in the Holy Ghost. And I don't feel like it and I don't want it. All of a sudden, the power of God begins to be released. The life of God begins. There are rivers, come on, rivers of living water, rivers that start flowing, and I start getting built up. That happened in 5 minutes yesterday. And Jennifer's like, I don't know what just happened, but it just all broke. And I'm like, praise God. And we just enjoyed the rest of the day. What'd you say? What'd you say?
Pasta. We had pasta. That made it all better.
And then we ate pasta and it made it all better. That's what she said. Oh, man. We've been eating a certain way, kind of losing some weight and all that kind of stuff. And I feel better than I ever have and all of that. And so that's all great and wonderful, but man, I blew it over the last couple of weeks. I'm just going to tell you. And but I got to tell you, Thursday and Friday, that did not make me feel any better. Only the Holy Ghost made me feel better. Praise God. You know, people go to comfort food. People go to this vice or this vice because they want to feel better. Feel better, you know, they're feeling bad. Man, come on, that is temporary, and that is just feeding your flesh, and that's just feeding your soul. Go to the source of all life. Go to the source of all wisdom. Go to the source of all joy. You need to keep dipping into that well, and keep dipping into that well. Keep drawing out of that well. Keep drawing out of that well. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start drawing out of that well, because he that draws out of this well shall never thirst again. You got the goods. Amen. You got the goods. Amen. Every one of us does. Amen. Amen. I want to just encourage you this week. Take some time. And again, after the service, Jennifer and I will be here to pray with you if you have not, if you have difficulty praying in the Spirit, or you never have, or you don't know if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then come up here. Let us pray with you. Okay? We'll do that here in just a little bit. So you got the goods. Next week, my focus is really going to be about now taking what you've got and taking it out.
Amen.
Okay? We've been talking about who we are. We've been talking about, but all of that's for a reason, is to disciple others. Is to lay hands on others. Do you want to know how to lay hands on the sick? Do you want to know how to have boldness? Do you want to know how to disciple others? Do you want to know what that looks like, what your right is, what your purpose is, what your design is? I didn't even get to my foundational scripture that I was trying to get to all morning. And it goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what you do. It's about Him working in and through you. God is in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Praise you, Father. Amen. That's what it's about. And then it says that we are His workmanship, verse 10. We are His workmanship. Say, I am His workmanship. Created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, Father. For we are His workmanship. Don't talk bad about yourself. Don't put yourself down, because you're talking bad about a work of Christ. If you see yourself as His workmanship, then there's no need to compare yourself to other people.
Amen.
If you see yourself as His workmanship, then you're not, when you look in the mirror, you're not going to see yourself as less than. You're not going to see yourself as ugly. You're not going to see yourself as not having enough and not having. No, you are His workmanship. Oh yeah, but I'm working on this, and I'm working on this, and I'm what? You are His workmanship. Yeah, but I've really got to work on this area. See how we always try to bring it back to us? You are His workmanship. Yeah, but I'm really working on my anger issues. You work on your anger issues, you will never get there. Jennifer tried that for 20 years, and it never got, and she got more frustrated. But you are, when she finally said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am His workmanship. I am created to love. I am created. What happened? Her faith in who He is in her took her to that place. She believed, get this right now. She believed into Christ for that area of her life. She believed herself right into Him. See, that's persuading your heart. And what happened? God changed the fruit of love, all of those things, the nature, the new nature began now to be expressed through her. Why? Because she now didn't see herself unworthy and less than, and didn't see herself as having to try to work on something. She saw herself as letting Christ working in and through her. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. You're created not to just sit and receive. You're created now to do. You're created to do. Which God has before, He's already ordained. He's already made the way. He's already declared about you. He's already declared that you're ordained to live in the good works. He's got a plan for your life to walk out. To walk out. He's already before. It's already before. He's not waiting on you to get your act together before He says, okay, now I've got a plan for you. He's already got one. Oh, it's all about Him. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we are Your workmanship. That as Jesus is, so are we. Receive this word. As Jesus is, so are we right now in this world, that we were created in Christ. In Christ. Some of you need, I really think that this is where we're going with maybe the next series. What does it mean to be in Christ? In Him? What is it? I really feel like the body of Christ hasn't got the reality of what being in Him actually means. In Christ. Because when you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you are empowered to live His life. You are empowered to do His works. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive the word. We receive that. We are Your workmanship. We are Your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in, that we should live out, that You have ordained for us to live in. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Lord, we just give You praise for that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You receive that?
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. So, Life of Faith Church family, we have the honor of doing something this morning that we think is so important, so special, as we recognize we are all part of the body of Christ together. I'm going to ask those that are transitioning from, that they've signed up, they've transitioned from just being 12 years old, you know, up to that, and now they're moving into young adulthood. And then those that are new here, they didn't have an opportunity to come and be a part, and you know who you are. If y'all would come up with your parents and with your family, please. What we want to do, listen, this is so important. We learned that we did this by accident, but now we see the purpose behind it. When we didn't have anybody here to sing, I put my kids on stage and Hannah on stage at 8 and 9 years old. But then they, you know, just to begin to sing and just to be able to be involved. And I believe that because of that and because that they were part, not just set aside the youth group, we thank God for youth group, but because they actually became a part of just the regular service and that we were intentional with them. That's one of the reasons why they're all serving God today. And I think it's so important that we take these young ones and we say intentionally, we want to help disciple you. We want to come alongside your parents. But not only that, we want to help you flow in the gifts that God has for you. And we want you to step into that at this age right now. And so this is a holy moment. This is a sacred moment. You know, and the best thing that you guys can do is to release your faith with us as we pray over and as we talk about these things. There, the certificate that we give them says this: we your church family recognize you are beginning your journey into adulthood. As your church family, we commit to help you discover and fulfill God's plan for your life. We commit to helping you develop and grow in the following character traits. And so this isn't all of them, but these are some areas that we can help. Love for God, love for others, honor, faithfulness, excellence, thoroughness, integrity, and creativity. So many times we let teenagers just
fend for themselves. And this is the time that we have to be more intentional about these things. More intentional. So what we're going to do very quickly is I want to explain what each one of these means. I'll explain two of them. Jennifer will explain two. And Jacob and Bianca, they'll explain. Love for God. Guys, listen to me. Love for God. Your life must be rooted in the love that God has for you. Before anything else, before any gifting, before any what other people say, you've got to know and have a foundation of what God has, His love for you. And we want to help you really get a revelation of God as Father, as God as your Father. And the more that you have a revelation of that, it'll inspire you and it will motivate you to love Him more. So it's not about you receive His love out of your love. No, you end up, it's He loved you first, and now you get to love Him in return. And then for me, excellence is a very important thing. Excellence. Excellence isn't about creating a standard and meeting that standard. Excellence is about exceeding others' expectations of you. It's going beyond what the expectation is. Daniel's a great example. Daniel was your age when he ended up in another place. But Daniel ended up having a spirit of excellence, and it elevated him and caused him to be promoted time and time again, and God worked through him. You have the spirit of excellence, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So we're going to help you develop in that. Jennifer?
Amen. I'm going to talk to you about love for others. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted and courteous." Now, these young adult years can bring opportunities for selfishness. But we, as your church family, will encourage you regarding your love for others. I'm going to throw a funny in there. My mother used to tell me growing up as a teenager that my belly button wasn't the center of the universe, and I could have fainted because that's exactly what I thought. But no, it's not. So for us, Pastor Mark was talking about is understanding the love of God. This is where it starts for you guys. That firm foundation in how much you're loved. And we've used this phrase before that you can't give what you don't have. So when you receive the love of the Father for you, it's so much easier to be able to give it and give it the way that it should be.
Amen.
All right. Oh, my thing just went wrong. Okay, there we go. And to understand that, and that it will impact your hearts concerning others. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Whether you come from a large family or a small family, start helping and caring for the people that are around you right now, in your home, in your school, and here at your church family." And the next thing I want to talk to you about is integrity. Doing the right thing is so much more than an action. It actually makes known what is already in your heart. As your church family, we will be examples to you. Oh, I just lost my place. I'm so sorry. In a world doing whatever it takes to get their way or not keeping their word, you can be the one to change the people around you. You will be that light in this dark world. And in Titus 2:6-8 says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that no one who is your opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you."
Amen.
So that's what we're going to encourage you guys to be.
All right, so I'm going to talk about honor and faithfulness, and I'm going to just read what the Lord gave me last night. Honor is high respect or esteem. Honor isn't something that you give yourself. Honor is what you give to God and to others. It means esteeming others higher than yourself. It's about looking at others the same way that God sees them. That's what Jesus did. He always gave others a sense of value. Jesus didn't spend much time with those who honored themselves and were self-righteous. He spent most of his time with those who needed to be valued, and he restored them with dignity and respect. In the same way, honor others higher than yourself. Now, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a commitment to someone or something. Jesus said in a parable that he who is faithful in the least is also faithful in much. Here he was talking about money, but the principle is the same. It is the little things that make the difference. When you don't feel like doing something that's good, do it anyways. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. Be quick to forgive and slow to become angry. You show your faithfulness by living out who you already are in your spirit.
Thank you.
In your spirit, you are just like Jesus, each and every one of you.
Amen.
Because he is faithful, so are you.
That's a good word.
Now let the faithfulness that is already in you come out. Amen.
Well, I'm going to talk about creativity and thoroughness, and then at the end I would like to share a scripture with you that God gave me this morning. Originality, innovation, you're innovators. Creative power. Each one of us was created in God's image and likeness, each one of you was. And just like he has creative power, so do you also have that creative power. He created us and the world with his words.
Yeah.
So in the same way, you can create things with your words. So think about the words that you speak every day. Dwelling God's word in your life will flow with those same words of life. Each one of us in the same way is original and unique. Each one of you is original. There are no copies of you. You are unique. Nobody else can be you. So always remember that. God created you not only in his image and likeness, but also with your own fingerprint, with your own gifts. Just as your bodies, just as our bodies have different parts, eyes, hands, feet, so are we a special part of the body of Christ. So are you a special component of the body of Christ. I already said this, but you are original. No one can take your place. So as you grow, God will give you creative ideas. He will give you things to bless you, but those are also to bless others. So do not be afraid to use these. You just take off, because the Holy Spirit is saying you. He gave them to you for a reason. And thoroughness. Attention to detail, taking great care, sustaining until completion. The best example that I can think about to illustrate this is to see the life of Jesus. Even before he started his ministry, he was thorough in everything he did. He was purposeful about everything he did. Jesus completed his ministry. He didn't halfway do something or halfway go and heal somebody. He made him whole. He was thorough. He paid attention to detail. He paid attention to the needs of those around him. And he took great care and love towards each of them. So when you're led to serve in an area, in church or in school, wherever you are, always be thorough. Do all the things that you're doing as you're doing them unto God.
Yeah.
Complete things that you commit to and do them with excellence, just like Pastor Mark said. Always following through with your words and honoring your word. All are part of being thorough. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide in each of these areas. He has provided the supply in your spirit. And the scripture is Isaiah 48:17. This is the International Standard Version. And I didn't have this plan, but this was this morning. And I would love for you guys to, if you want to come back afterwards and tell me, what was that scripture again? I want to write it down. It says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to succeed. He teaches you that. You don't have to go and look for it for yourself. Who directs you in the path that you should go. Man, that's assurance right there. So he has provided the supply in your spirit. You guys got it already. And we love y'all so much.